Welcome to the Ag Fanatics Podcast number 8. Today is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2013. I am joined, as always, by my partner in Ag, Nick Klump.
Hey, Corey, how are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
A little cold today.
It's freezing.
It's chilly. I'm numb down here.
I know. Sitting up in our office there, it's cold up there. It's a bunch of cold everywhere. I think my I saw -2 this morning on my car.
Yeah, and that wind chill, it's just it's brutal, man.
It's got a bite to it.
Yeah.
So. Well, got off to a nice little 3-day weekend we had here, being involved in the markets. I know a lot of folks had to work yesterday, but we were fortunate enough to have off, so it's kind of our Monday here.
Can't complain.
No complaints. But this cold weather, I think, is giving me a little bit of a cold, so I got this. Probably sound worse than I normally do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I could.
You agree. Yep.
I could have definitely stayed in bed another day here today, but it's good to get back and bring another podcast out to everyone. So.
Bring another podcast. That's right. Well, our song, we'll have it, but we'll start looking for a new song. just off the air. Nick doesn't like it either, but we had some requests to maybe find something new, right?
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I guess we'll just keep trying here until we find something that everybody enjoys. But that last one we did, Corey. I don't know it.
For the record, I'm the one that pulled that one, so I will take the fall for that one.
But what are we going to talk about today, you think?
Well, it's just the two of us.
Yep.
Yeah, so no guests today, but there's a lot of good things to talk about. Market seems to be running pretty strong here today, at least in the beans. Beans are up, 26 here this morning, and wheat's down about 12.
Beans being the leader of the pack today.
Yeah, corn's kind of flat right now. They're a little off of their highs today, so we'll
talk
about
that.
There's some
technical resistance that we're seeing right now, but... Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, I guess.
Yeah, well, before we get started on this, it has been brought to my attention. We ask every guest that we have on the show what is something, their hobby or something they might not know. Mm-hmm. Folks might not know about them, and no one knows that of us. So since I'm the host of this bad boy along with you here, I'm gonna ask you the question.
Today, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you the question.
All right,
Nick Klump, what is a hobby or something that others may not know about you? And
well,
I know one, but I will not say it aloud and embarrass you on the show.
Well, I think I've got two here for you, Corey. One is a little more serious than the other, but the first one, I'm a runner, so I do enjoy, distance running, marathons. I've done about 10 marathons.
Wow.
So that's kind of the serious one. And the second one is kind of a little hobby. I like to buy and sell tickets online. So I try to buy tickets face value and then sell them for a little higher than face value.
Kind of like a ticket scalper.
Yeah, I don't know if I can call myself that, but
no,
I
you're
guess
not.
That's what
not,
it is,
that's
right?
That's not the legal term, right? No, we can't use that.
But that's what I enjoy doing.
So
the
what
second
is,
one there is just a little bit of a different thing.
Yeah, well, you bought tickets for me before.
Definitely.
I appreciate that, Zach Brown.
I think I got the
extra fee involved in my tickets, but that's all right. They were worth it. My girls enjoyed the show. So,
good deal.
But now running, let's go back to this real quick.
Yep.
I know you run. You are an avid runner. But what is a normal run for you, Nick, on a daily basis or every other day?
I try to do 7 or 8 a day.
Seven or eight.
Miles.
Steps?
Steps. No, I try to go 7 or 8 miles a day, but obviously it's a little more difficult with the cold weather we're experiencing now. That treadmill gets pretty boring.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, it sure is.
And you don't run outside in the cold then.
Definitely not.
They say that hurts your lungs, right?
I don't know. I wouldn't try it.
You wouldn't. No. I was thinking, so I talked to somebody and they put, because I was going to run once, and I just eat now. But
well, I eat to run, so we're in the same boat.
There we go. But they said you have to put something over your face because otherwise the cold air gets into your lungs.
Could be. Yeah.
Could be dangerous.
Sounds painful.
So. Well,
all right. Well, we'll ask you that question next time. Then
there you go. There you go. We can. I'll be prepared for it.
All right.
Well, let's talk about ag. Let's talk about some things that are going on. I know we've got a list of things. So I'm going to open the floor up to you. I'll let you get it started. Kick it off.
Yeah. Well, I think today to start the first day of the trading in the markets this week, we saw export inspections come out again. That were very, very good, very strong for beans especially. Corn was about 1 million higher than what the previous week was, and beans were about 7 million higher than the previous week. So good export sales are being inspected and weighed for export. So that means they are going overseas, not just export sales where they could get canceled. This is actual actual physical sales going abroad.
In both those, I know the beans really blew away expectations. Corn, mm-hmm. kind of in line of where expectations
were? Yeah, I think
were.
So, but it's still a fairly decent number given the environment that we're in for the corn. I mean, our corn exports are not competitive right now with South America. We are still a significant premium to their market. And, you know, they're starting to get some weather issues in northern Brazil, so you might see some trickle-down effect there where they can't get corn or beans to the ports, beans more particular, but which could increase our export sales coming out of the U.S. So that's something to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it is very hard to, I mean, going to that exports, we always talk about it. When you look at the United States, and I always feel like if a country needs grain and they need it now, let's say, or they need it fairly soon, mm-hmm. They're going to come to us, right? I mean, it's worth the premium to come to us because of our logistics and the ability to get it out right now,
right.
Realizing South America, they're trying to come on board with logistics. But, you know, somebody was telling me a story. They were visiting over in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking to a family, and they were visiting a farm, and they saw a farmer and his wife and his kids actually packing up to get in the truck, and they were going to be gone for a full week, 1 week, to deliver 1,000 bushel of beans to the river and back, and
wow.
It was going to take them a full week to do that. So logistically, it gets kind of tough. Yep. So we always talk about the exports, but I mean, if a country needs it, a lot of times they're going to look to us first and pay that premium.
No, I definitely agree. And I think right now you're seeing some lineup issues in Brazil, in South America. So the vessels...
When you say lineup issues...
The vessels that they're loading the beans with, they are sitting there basically waiting because they cannot get the physical beans from the field to the export terminals on the river to get it to export. So you're seeing logistical lineups delaying everything, which is going to turn export business to the U.S. if that continues in any significant volume.
Okay, yeah. So that's positive news from our grain standpoint. So,
yep.
Yeah, definitely helps with that demand destruction that we talked about last time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, to go on that, so Nick's a Cardinal fan, I'm a Cub fan. You're a Bull, I'm a Bear right now. I wouldn't say I'm even a Bear. I'm just not as bulled up as you are right now. So kind of to offset the export news, we have had some negative demand news come out over the last few days or week, and you know the Avango ethanol plants. We had two that are going to halt production.
Mm-hmm.
Those ethanol plants, you know, it seems like we're starting to hear more and more ethanol plants halting. Now they're not shutting those down completely; they're just halting them
mm-hmm.
Because of the cost of grain, because of the expense it's taken to grind that corn. So. That's something to keep an eye on as we lose more and more of those. That ethanol number may come down
mm-hmm.
That we look at in the S&Ds all the time. That's got me a little concerned. But the good news is if corn prices come down, I talked to an expert in the ethanol industry, and they said, hey, we can retool this and have it up and running at full production. As long as we have the grain
mm-hmm.
and have the ability to get the grain, they can get it up and running in 2 or 3 days
mm-hmm.
to full capacity again. So it doesn't take them long to flip that switch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still concerning that they're
and
turning them
off. And that's just a product of the margins right now.
Right, just margins. Yeah, so it's costing a little too much to buy the inputs. And so, yeah, you got a margin
mm-hmm.
issue there. The other thing is you know, Cargill, let me pull my thing, you know, they're going to idle one of their beef plants down
mm-hmm.
in Texas. So that's another thing that, you know, we need those, we need that feed demand and that ethanol demand
mm-hmm.
to.
Yeah, I saw that was I think that Cargill facility was about 4% of the processing capacity in the U.S. So that's a significant bump from just one plant being shut down there. So I guess I'm not sure, you know, what does that really mean going forward? I guess it's tough to tell because the lags on that are tough to read, but I guess we'll find out one way or another.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting. You know, one may pick up, but the other seems to offset it. You know,
mm-hmm.
so and yeah, I don't know what the true effect is going to be, and I don't know if anybody. I mean, nobody really knows what that true effect is. But it's just we talk about rationing ourselves out of the market. We kind of are domestically, but we have the export demand that maybe is picking up, but has kind of destructed a little bit as well. So,
mm-hmm.
just those are just interesting things to look at.
And I also saw something for more of an export situation, but Chinese corn imports are up 197%.
Say that again.
197% from the year before.
That's amazing.
So that's a huge number.
It's a huge number.
That's probably going to get bigger if we do see some sort of retreat again in the corn market.
Man, 197%.
Yeah, so it's it'll be interesting, I guess.
Yeah, it's a growing country. Mm-hmm. You know, the question there will be, are they going to continue to try to put things in place to grow more, to produce more internally, domestically on their side? And yeah, but again, it takes so long to ramp up for that. It's not something that you can just do overnight. So they have to continue to export. So that's definitely helped our markets and our economy out for sure.
Yep. Well, what else do we got?
Well, it's like, they were talking about South America and, Brazil. They came out with some numbers today just talking about kind of where they're going to be as far as a forecast on corn. And in the South America talk, seems to be high on everybody's list. And, they're coming in 70.7 million tons, million metric ton is roughly what they're looking at. Now, they had forecasted about 69 million metric tons in December. So just a little bit of an increase, but they're kind of saying that there's some better improved yields in the South. Mm-hmm. So that's helping out. So that crop is still going to be large. Mm-hmm. And then Oil World came out and forecasted Argentina will harvest 52 million metric tons of soybeans in 2013. So now that's down from 53 and down from 56 mm-hmm. in October. So that number's slipping, but still a decent number. Would you agree?
Right. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. The only thing that is interesting to me is that, 2/3 of the South American corn crop is already pollinated right now. So you hear these talks about the weather maybe affecting it, and there is still a third out there that still could get affected by, some heat in the northern central parts of Brazil. But I think for the most part, it's probably going to be a huge crops down there.
It's made, yeah.
Right. And so they do some double cropping, but I think 90 to 95% of their production comes from that first harvest. And we'll start to see, significant numbers in the next week. I think February is usually about the time that starts to ramp up pretty hardcore.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet next week we'll start to see some numbers kind of come in, trickle in, and then the week after we'll mm-hmm. start to see some real numbers come
Definitely.
In. So and we've got contacts over there, so we'll be able to communicate with some folks over there to kind of share some numbers as they come through as well. So we'll make sure we keep you guys updated on that. With that, weather-wise here, let's go to our weather. It's still dry, of mm-hmm. course. It's cold now.
Yeah.
We need the rain.
I think last week they were saying maybe we needed like 15 to 18 inches of rain yet to get back to normal moisture levels around here. And I'm not sure we're going to get that.
I was just looking at the 14-day forecast, mm-hmm. and it's dry there too. So there's not a lot of moisture coming our way. So that's something we really have to keep an eye on, especially as we get into closer to planting season mm-hmm. here. So, nobody knows. And if somebody says they know what's going to happen,
right.
I question that because I know it's all weather based right now. So, well, Nick, let's look at this. Customer calls you up and mm-hmm. says, what do we do today? I mean, do you have any strategies that you've been working on? Or let's not say specific strategies. Let's say in mm-hmm. general, what are you telling your guys?
I still think that, I am bullish, but I think on good rallies, I think some guys need to be sellers out there. I think you need, especially in the old crop, if you have old crop grain left, kind of rally, I think you lean into the market and put some sales on. And again, on the new crop corn, I still think, $6, start there. I think we're about 7 or 8 cents off of that yet today.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think rallies need to be sold yet, but I think we are going to push higher.
Say you're bullish, and I'm kidding. We're bullish bears. I've said my range on here before, and I still kind of stick to that. I think we might see 625, take advantage of that definitely if we do. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll float between that $5 to $6 range. And some listeners may say, well, that's kind of a wide range, but we've heard from $3 to $20 from
right.
Sue, so
it's just scary because everybody's talking these huge acres now. You saw an analyst come out last week with 99.3 million, so we're getting closer and closer to that 100 million acre mark in corn, which is not bullish for new crop corn by any means.
Not at all. Yeah, and it's interesting because you talk to some farmers and you talk to some analysts and you talk to other folks, and there's a lot of question out there. Some folks feel that, hey, that number could continue to increase. There's acreage to come from cotton and other areas, and you know, farmers might change their mind in February, at the end of February, and plant corn if the number's good. You know, if the average number is good from a crop insurance standpoint, guarantee. And then you talk to others who say, no, I bought all my stuff in the fall, and I'm going to plant X number of acres here. So it'll be interesting to see if there is a shift or an increase in acres from where the analysts are talking now. Mm-hmm. I may be in that camp where it's hard for me to see us continuing to ramp up acres, especially if we see different demand issues and the price really doesn't get above $6.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put pencil to paper right now and pencil it out, it's profitable at $560, $570 guarantee, you know, if you've got decent ground at a decent yield. So there's opportunities even.
Yeah,
and
I think even if, you know, producers or even analysts, you know, I sometimes fall in that same trap here. But if you have targets out there at $6, not necessarily you're forced to sell at $6, but reevaluate where you're at. I mean, reevaluate the market and your position at $6. Is that something that looks like it, you know, could drop from that level, or we could keep going through that technically or fundamentally? Could we keep going above that? And I think it's just something you need to remind yourself of and set targets on particular price points. And that $6 mark is definitely one for me.
Excellent point. Reevaluate. Is a key word there. But yeah, setting those targets and having ideas of when you're going to re-look at it, reevaluate, and have that plan in place, right?
Yep.
We always talk about that, have the plan.
Definitely.
So, well, hey, we've talked quite a bit here, Nick.
Yep.
Before we go, well, let's go ahead and I do have a couple things I want to say. I want to say thank you to a couple folks. You know, we've been doing this show. This is our 8th episode, so that's really exciting for me. And mm-hmm. I know
big
we
party
were
at number 10.
Big
right?
Party at 10. Yeah, I don't know, as long as we don't get shut down by 10. But I do want to first say thank you to Alan Duran at RFD Radio. He's been a huge helper and supporter of ours, and we certainly do appreciate it. I don't think we would have the Ag Fanatic show if it weren't for him.
And he's got to sit here and listen to him live.
And
so.
He does. Yeah, so he's right across there. So, and he chimes in every now and then. He gave a note on Graham's hair last week. So, but also I want to thank Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman. They're the owners of many media outlets and have recently posted a story on our show at agwired.com. So if you guys are listening, take a look at that. So we really appreciate that, and we appreciate all the listeners that are out there listening. So, Nick, got anything else before we close?
Nope, I think that's it, Corey.
All right. Well, as always, we want to thank you for listening to the Ag Fanatics podcast. Provide us with feedback on this episode to agfanatics@gmail.com. Also, send any future episode suggestions to the same address, agfanatics@gmail.com. As always, this is the Ag Fanatics, keeping ag fun and informative. Signing off.